Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show with your host, Skip LaCour. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show is a weekly talk radio program that discusses any of the challenges that you face as you strive to create the best body you possibly can and outlines solutions. This is your opportunity to talk with Skip about what's most important to you in your training efforts, share your thoughts and opinions in an open forum, and learn from the experiences of other passionate lifters just like you at the same time. Skip LaCour is a six-time national champion and whose leadership and coaching continues to guide bodybuilders around the globe. Here is the host of this bodybuilding and training show, Skip LaCour.
Welcome to this bodybuilding and training talk radio show. I am Skip LaCour. So what's the next level for you in striving to have that awesome physique that you're working so hard in the gym for? Are you having challenges in your training, your nutrition, supplementation, motivation? Hey, whatever it is, I want to be here for as your coach, your big brother, your friend, your training partner to help you get there using my knowledge and experience to help you do just that. I want you to call into the show. The phone number is 347-326-9145, 347-326-9145. We also have a chat room available where you can make your comments and questions live as the show is in progress. I can see your comments and your questions. You can also chat with other passionate lifters just like you. You know, sometimes all it takes is one strategy, one new distinction, one new way of looking at the same old challenge that you're going through that makes all the difference in the world. I am confident there will be at least one distinction, one strategy, one breakthrough that will be available to you during this show and as you listen to this show every week. Sometimes you just don't know it. Sometimes it'll come to you later on when you're in the gym, when you do something, it triggers something that we've talked about here on the show, and then it changes the direction and the progress of what you're doing forever. I'm going to use all the resources I have available to me to help you get what you want out of your physique. I've been helping thousands of bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts all over the world for about 18 years and helping them get what they want, bust through any of those sticking points or frustrating plateaus. I've been doing this through my website, www.skiplacour.com. I've written 10 books, produced 7 DVDs. I do seminars around the world, one-on-one phone consultation, and now here I'm in this open forum where we can discuss what we're most passionate about, what we're determined to do, and that's take our physiques to the next level. I have a caller on the 916 area code. We're going to jump right into the questions. Caller from the 916 area code, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is Daniel.
Daniel, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you, Scott?
Awesome. What's your question?
I got a question. Actually, say I'm doing 3 shows, one each week, in 3 consecutive weeks.
Right.
How would I change my diet for each week? Like, say, I know you up your calories the week prior to the show, but say I'm doing a show right the following week and another one the following week after that. How would I modify
my diet? Well, I appreciate your ambition, Daniel, to do 3 shows, but I'm going to just tell you straight off that I'm not a big fan of doing 3 shows, 3 weekends in a row. And if you put so much work in your diet and your training and your focus, it gets really tough sometimes to peak for 3 straight shows. Now, I guess I'm going to ask you, I mean, is that really important to you to look your best in all 3 shows? Are you okay with looking okay the first one, better after the second one?
I want to look my best, you know.
On all 3 shows.
Right.
On all 3 shows. You have none of them are warm-ups. You just want to look outstanding all 3 shows.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Why are those 3 shows so important? Are they all in your area? Are you traveling around for them? Is there any way you can space out the shows?
They're all in my area. It just happens that they are 3 weeks apart in each one. I don't have to do. I was just thinking it's something that I could do, but if not, you know, I don't want to come in
okay.
looking not my best. So.
Right. I think that if you did, you gave them at least a week apart, that would be a lot better idea. If you were doing so many shows in a row, let me just tell you, the best thing to do is just to get in great shape and then just hold the pattern for those 3 weeks. Get harder and harder and more conditioned from the first show to the second show. Just continue the same pattern for those 3 weeks. That would be the basic overall strategy I would have to give you. I think a better strategy, if you're working so hard, you know, you're taking pictures, and again, we all have different goals. If yours is just to do these great shows in your local area, that's one thing. If you want to look your best, it might have a different strategy. Last week, I offered all the listeners to the show to send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com, skip@skiplacour.com. Daniel, I want you to do the same. Send me an email. What I'll do is give you free access into my members-only website, a journal that I did for 4 solid years. 2 back-to-back national championship victories. You can see the thought and the preparation and the dieting and all the diets and my strategies and my manipulation of water. There is a reason why I got in such condition for those shows. And it wasn't just something that I just jumped into or bumbled into. It was a well-thought-out plan. And you see that plan went into action a good 6 months before the show.
Right.
It also talks about what I did differently from at that time at the NPC Nationals Championship, the USA's, and then 2 weeks later doing the Team Universe. So I did have that gap of a week, which may be something similar that you're doing or wanting to do. So all that's explained in great detail, a lot more than we can explain right now. Great question. Send me that email.
Can I ask you one more thing, just really quick?
Sure, Dana.
When you, I was reading your journal, and you say you mentioned that you eat one serving of this, one serving of rice, one serving of vegetables. What do you mean by one serving?
Okay, now I'm not exactly sure which diet you're talking about. Contest preparation, off season. I'm throwing in suggestions.
It's your diet. Okay. It's your diet for the 2000 journal that you have.
Okay. One serving is based on calories that I was planning for myself that particular week. So one serving is what it says on the back of the package, for example. For example, for rice, if it's 3/4 of a cooked cup, 150 calories. So it's a serving as per the package of what I'm eating. If it was one serving of protein powder, let's say, VP2, it's one scoop that comes back. So serving, I made it pretty much standard for what the packaging said. There's no guesstimate. And again, the big picture of what I'm doing is all based on calories. So when you know what your calories are for that particular day and as you go down, that all has to figure in for you. At least at the beginning, as you make your plan, you have to become a tactician. You have to be detailed and line that all that menu out, all its calories, all its protein and carbohydrates. Don't go by instinct. Go by fast. Go by details. You're working so hard for so long for that show, putting your efforts on the line for all your friends and family to see. Go back, you know, 15 weeks, 20 weeks, and really plan it out. Take a couple hours to do that. So that's what I'm talking about when I have the particular servings. All right, Daniel?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
All right. Okay. We have a caller from the 713 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, what's going on, Skip?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm Thomas. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Thomas, nice of you to join the show. How can I help you?
Oh yeah. I'm a real big fan, man. I've read a lot of your books, Bodybuilding Nutrition especially. I'm gonna get right into my question.
Okay.
Basically, I'm training for a competition. I did my first competition last year, and what the judges told me was I really need to work on my legs. And I've been training my legs, you know, specializing in training my legs, and I'm really I've always been into the lower volume type.
Okay, we lost him. Hey, call back there, Daniel. We have a caller from the 814 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks, Skip. This is Susan from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am awesome.
Well, I am doing my first show in Pittsburgh in 6 weeks, 6 weeks from yesterday. And
awesome.
I've been reading some of your books and journals about what you do with sodium and fluids, and I wondered if you could speak to that and if that's something that I can incorporate at this point, you know, in my training with 6 weeks out to go.
6 weeks out, yeah, you definitely can. Basically, we have a lot of competitors on the line so far, right? That's awesome. Basically, when you work so hard and you get lean, you lose all the body fat, you do your work, you train hard, heavy, you feed your body consistently throughout the day to maintain, to build muscle all the way to the show. You've done everything else. Getting you over the top, that finishing package is to lose all the water. Okay, but a lot of times people do a great job of getting into shape. And it's just that there's this film of water that kind of covers their hard work. With the help of Paul Delia of AST Sports Science, check out their website, AST-SS.com. He's been a mentor, a coach for me for a long time. We developed a way to take it to that next level, and it's a way to naturally manipulate that water to get it, to rid it from between the skin and the muscle to show off all that hard work. Now, again, this is what you do after you work hard to lose all the body fat, okay, all right?
Right?
So basically, in a nutshell for everyone else, basically what you do is you manipulate your body to process water in the most efficient manner. And what I do basically with that is I get my body used to drinking massive amounts of water. This is from 3 gallons a day, okay? And you can adjust that to your body. So what it is, it's like your body is just so used to processing water. It's a job, I'll tell you what. I mean, I started 6 weeks is a great time to start doing that, and you're going to have to go to the bathroom a lot, but you're doing it all for that one day of the show.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
You're already
we'll
eating every
2 hours.
We'll see
how committed you are. Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah, we'll see how committed you are by doing whatever it takes on your list of things to do to make sure you're best in the show. 2-3 gallons of water a day, that's your goal. So your body's used to processing it. Let's think of a boulder, okay, on the top of a hill, all right?
Yep.
And then we roll it down the hill. It's going to go quickly down the hill, and it's going to gain momentum the further it goes down the hill, okay, right? Well, that's what we're doing with water. We're just dumping it in. Our body becomes this processing machine, processing it, the water out almost as quickly as it takes it in, okay? We're tricking our body to do that for 6 weeks. Or longer, right? So that when it comes to the last week of the show, it is when we cut off our water, okay, and I'm going to talk about the last week. When we cut it off, the body has had 6 weeks or more of just ridding itself. It's not going to be able to adjust that type of processing of water when you start cutting it back, okay? It's all about tricking the body to lose the water it doesn't need. For that one day, that 12 hours of the show, right? So it starts with getting the body to process way water very efficiently by drinking, you know, a lot of water, okay? So that's number one. The other thing is, in this equation, is sodium. And a lot of people start avoiding sodium right when they start dieting, whether that's 12 weeks out or 14 weeks out or whatever. Okay, your body can process sodium a lot easier than all those wives' tales that you hear about in the muscle magazines or your gym buddies, okay? Let me just say this, Susan. If you were to avoid sodium, just say for 3 months, and then you were to eat a piece of pizza, right?
Yeah.
And I guess I shouldn't be talking about a piece of pizza here with you 6 weeks before a show. But
that's all right.
If you were to,
it's not a trigger.
If you were to eat that piece of pizza, what would happen to you?
I would hang on to fluid.
It would. It would just totally, you would hold on, you'd blow up because your body isn't used to processing all that sodium because you took it out of your diet for a couple months. You were very strict doing something that you thought was good for you, and you would avoid it, all right? Well, how about this? What if you ate pizza for 8 days in a row? On that 8th day of eating that pizza, will your body have that same reaction as it did during the first day?
Right, no.
It won't. It, because
right.
over those 8 days, it got used to processing the sodium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It would no longer blow you the same way it did. Okay, so this is what we're, what is what you start salt in your meals, all right?
Yeah, I have started that this week after reading
okay,
your,
so,
your info.
So for those listening, what you're doing is you're salting your food. So just like I use the pizza analogy, we don't want to have our body hold on to sodium like that first day of eating pizza. We want it to, like the last, the eighth day. It's just so used to processing sodium, all
right? Right.
So
mm-hmm.
so just like that boulder down the hill, eat, have sodium with the meal, process it. Eat sodium with the meal, process it. We're doing that for a few months, 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're so used to doing it. Okay. So then when we cut the sodium out during the last week, it is so used to processing it and dumping it out. Okay, now we have
Got
two
it.
Elements that are so used to ingesting, becoming efficient, that water we talked about, and now the sodium, those two elements, all right? Now the third mm-hmm. element in this water manipulation is the potassium. During the last week, you kind of you avoid potassium, you know,
mm-hmm.
as you're dieting these 6 weeks, and last week we gradually build it up. And again,
okay.
Send me an email, go into the members only website, and all the details of this process are not only explained but outlined for you. And then what you do is you gradually bring up the potassium part of this water sodium potassium equation is what that'll do is it'll get the water that you do have and it'll suck it into the muscles, giving it a big full appearance. Because we want water, we want those fluids in our muscles. We just don't want them in between the skin and the muscles. Okay.
Right.
A lot
mm-hmm.
of times when people cut off the water, they get really flat. They do it way too early in, during that last week. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do lose water, but they also deflate the balloons or their muscles and they look flat. The fuller those muscles are, the more they're 70% fluid, the more full they are, they'll press up against your skin. And that skin between the muscle, that space between the muscle and the skin has no water in it, giving you that full, ripped, larger appearance. Okay, so that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We get our body so used to the water, so used to sodium, dump it out, we raise it with a little bit of sodium. And Susan, yes, you can do that with your last 6 weeks. It
okay.
is not as complicated as it may sound. It's all outlined by when you send me that email. And I'll tell you, that's made the difference. I mean, when people look at pictures and see
I see your pictures and see the difference, clearly.
It's actually conditioning. But again, I'm just going to warn everyone out there that it's based on hard, hard work. First,
yeah.
you lose the muscle, you build the muscle mass, and then this is just gets you the finishing touches, the final packaging, all right? Okay, Susan,
great.
Thanks a lot for
Thank
your call.
You.
And
Thanks
good
for
luck
your
in
time.
Your show. All right?
Thank you very much. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, now I'm going to see if Daniel's on the line on the 713 area code, or is it Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas.
Okay, Thomas, you're back. Now, you were talking about your leg training.
Yes, sir. It kicked me
okay.
for some reason. I'm going to go right into it.
Okay.
Basically, I've been specializing my legs. I've been training everything else once a week and training legs twice a week. I've been doing that for a few months now, and I've seen great results. But the problem is, since my routine is generally based around heavy free-weighted movements like squats, stiff-legged deads, you know, everything else, but generally, you know, those are the movements that I see the most gains from. I'm getting really good results, but because of the such high frequency and such as the load, my legs are just sore, like the
uh-huh.
knees. I'm sore all the time almost.
Okay. Great question, Daniel. Your challenge is very similar to a lot of the people I help, and it also happens to be number six in the 10 stupid things, and I say that with a little nudge, bro, to the ribs, because I don't really mean stupid. It's just one of the things that bodybuilders do to mess up their training habits. And point number six is they don't let the body parts they've trained fully recover and recuperate before training the body part again. Now, I appreciate your passion, zeal, your enthusiasm to take your legs to the next level. I mean, you're not like a lot of those other guys out there who skip their legs because they're afraid of that hard work, right? So you want to do it. You want to train that body part twice. You called it specializing with your leg training. Now, unfortunately, that's not the way that it works. You can't just have that much enthusiasm and just train, expecting to get results. Unfortunately, bodybuilding, building muscle, is not like most things in life where you just more hard work that you do, the more time you put in, the better you'll get. You have to blitz the muscle, work it hard, stimulate, traumatize the muscle, okay, through your training. You sound very focused, very dedicated. I'm sure you're doing that in the gym. The second component, however, is you must let that body part fully recover before you blitz it again, all right? You, like you said yourself, is that you your muscles are sore. If they're in that sore spot, they have not recovered. If they have not recovered, you're not going to train them efficiently. Pardon me?
The muscles aren't sore. My joints. See, I never train a sore body part. I always train, and I generally pay attention to my body. Even if it's on my scheduled day, if I'm still sore, I might try to push it another day. But it's my joints themselves.
Okay.
I've been taking glucosamine, chondroitin. I take fish oil. But due to the frequency, my joints just don't seem to be catching up. And on top of that, my form starts to suffer a little bit because of that pain. I warm up for about 20 minutes on the treadmill before, so doing low-intensity cardio. And then I might do like maybe 4 sets of leg extensions, like real light, just to get my knees, lubricated. But
right, I
got
you.
Thomas,
let me ask you a question. How long have you been training?
7 years.
Okay. And have you tried a lot of different training methods before you come up?
Oh, yeah.
You came. Okay.
Tried hit, so, value, everything.
Okay. You know, I know what you're talking about. I was just as focused and passionate as you are. We really very similar at that time. I mean, I had that enthusiasm. I worked out a plan based on the logic that I had at the time. It wasn't until I was forced to go to that next level, my progress stopped. Maybe some of the same frustration that you're feeling right now that forced me to adopt different things, things that were counterintuitive than what I thought made sense. All right. Now, I would challenge how you're training your legs. Number one, if your body can't handle it, we all can respond to the stress of training differently. We all respond differently. If your joints are killing you, then it's not working. It just isn't working, okay? We have to find a different way that suits your body. Other thing, training the legs, twice a week. Now, I know that in the muscle magazines, that's advocated a lot of the time. I would say this. If you can train your body part twice a week and your muscles are recovered, okay, and it doesn't matter. I'm not passing any judgment if someone uses steroids or not steroids, but it's an important part of this equation as I speak of it. The reason why steroids are so effective when it comes to training is because it lets your body recover from those workouts. A person who trains with steroids can get twice as much productivity, twice as the result as a person who doesn't train with drugs, not because it makes them stronger, not because of any more magic, more than it helps you recover from your workout. So if I were to train my legs and really blitz them, really focus, really, overload the muscle, okay, really that this is the only workout that is the most important to me, total intensity, okay, not thinking, well, I train my legs twice a day, so I milk toast it or water it down. I work out number one of the week for my legs and work out number two, meaning that I'm really spreading that intensity over 2 weeks. I take one workout at a time with utmost intensity, all right? The reason why the person on the steroids will get better results is because they blitz it. The steroids help their body recover, so then just a few days later, they can blitz it again, okay, and they can get those same results. If you're training without drugs, it's going to be very, very, very difficult for your body to recover from that leg workout so soon, all right? I would block yourself in. You know, just like in life, when you have deadlines, it really helps you rise to the occasion. I would say work out, try this. Just work out once a week, just like your other body parts. But that just turn up the intensity. Block yourself in. Work on stimulation. I had very much a challenge in the early part of my career with my legs, maybe like a lot of people out there. And I realized that it wasn't necessarily the workout, the routine. It was just how I was just stimulating. I thought I was stimulating it properly. I was going through all the motions. You know, I was getting somewhat the results, but it was when I really made sure that I was really concentrating more on what I'm doing, more than doing more or different things. Does that make sense to you?
That's saying, yeah, definitely.
Okay, now one thing is I from my experience in coaching and helping people, I can understand that you put a lot of time and a lot of effort in what you're doing, and you come up with a plan that you think that works. I'm asking you to do something that's counterintuitive to this plan that you came up with, Thomas. I do think, with my experience, that that's what you're going to get the results is you, if you only let yourself work out your legs once a week. And I know that sounds counterintuitive. Only give it once a week, just like all those other parts, but really make that 1 week, block yourself, and that's the only day you have to train. I think you'll, because of that mental setup, you'll get more productivity. All right? How does that sound?
Yes.
Any other questions I can do to clarify that? I'm going to just have to ask you to take a leap of faith. I'm here to give you my best advice from my experience, the things I've done to help other people, but it's going to take a leap of faith on your part to actually follow through to make it work. That's what worked for me in the past. That's what I've seen work with most people. It's what we do in the gym and not more of it, all right?
Yeah, I'm always open to new suggestions. I mean, you always talk about how, you know, what's a month or two to a lifetime or a year or so to a lifetime of training, you know?
Yeah, so no, that's very mature. You sound a lot younger, but those are very mature words that you're saying. Thomas, I'm very impressed by that. It's that attitude that I think is going to get you ahead, and you're going to have an awesome physique 5 years from now, 7 years from now. Even though it's great now, that you're going to be sticking to this for a lifetime with that type of maturity, just taking one workout at a time. So that's awesome. Thank you, Thomas. Call back next week. Hey, and good luck with your contest, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, we have another caller in the 570 area code, 570. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Brad Musta. How are you doing, Skip?
I am awesome, and it's Brad?
Yep.
All right, Brad. How can I help you today?
I'm also a competitor, and it's been great to have these other people online today. And basically looking to try to take my conditioning to that next level that previous caller regarding the sodium, potassium, water manipulation was great. So I guess my next question would be like max OT cardio, going up to a show, and
right.
Your thoughts on doing it twice a day?
Uh-huh.
Would that be overkill, or what are your thoughts
on that? No, not necessarily. It's all part of the big plan that you have for yourself. How far away, I mean, what kind of shape are you in the off season? How much time do you have before your show? Those are all important considerations than saying yes or no to two times a day max OT cardio. Again, if you go onto my members only website after sending me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. I've logged every single cardio session I had for months before those contests that I won those national championships, and you'll see exactly how I did it. It's a component of the contest preparation process that, again, there's nutrition, how lean you are when you start this whole process. I love cardio. I love the health benefits of cardio. I love max OT cardio. Now, a couple of things for all of our listeners who may not be familiar with the terminology. Max OT training, max OT cardio, it's maximum overload training. It's a program developed by AST Sports Science, sports nutrition company. The sports nutrition company that has been an integral part of my success for over 15 years. They have the greatest sports nutrition products. You can check them out at AST-SS.com, AST-SS.com. The training program developed by Paul Delia of AST Sports Science is all about getting the most results in the shortest period of time using the least amount of effort. It's efficiency. It's training efficiency. It's not about old wives' tales or working out 5 hours in a gym. You've got other things to do, It's short, it's brief, it's intense. You focus on what you're doing. I mean, get the heck out of the gym. You do all the other things in your life, so you're doing this 5 years or 7 years later, like Thomas talked about. Now let's talk about cardio. There's so many different ways to skin a cat when it comes to cardio, especially when it comes to contest preparation. And I know we've heard all the different strategies, whether it's an hour of moderate cardio or 45 minutes of this type of intermediate, moderate cardio, stair-steppers, recumbent bikes, running outside, wind sprints, whatever it is for conditioning. Let's just talk about cardio in general. Cardio is a method of contest preparation, of getting lean for a show by raising your metabolism. It's one component, diet being the most important part. So what we want to do is use that to stimulate our metabolism so our body runs hotter. It runs more efficiently all throughout the day, not just the time that you're doing cardio. All right. So what the Max OT cardio system is all about is getting your cardio done in 16 minutes. All right. Not just 16 minutes of just showing up and getting it done. Okay, 16 minutes are done. No, it's in that short, intense time, you setting standards and setting goals by just busting your tail. Now, that is relative to who's ever doing the cardio session. In regards to you on that bike, what it is, it's setting standards. So if you're on a machine and it has tracking numbers like calories burned or distance traveled, MaxOT cardio is all about striving to burn one calorie more or go one-tenth of a mile further than you did your last session. It's that type of physical intensity, and that mental intensity is what makes it most effective. All right, so that's what MaxOT cardio is all about. And what it does is make sure your body doesn't get used to some moderate or slow pace. It also makes your time in the gym doing cardio most efficient. So, Brad, when you talk about your contest preparation, let's tell me how many weeks out are you talking about when you are considering two cardio sessions versus one cardio session?
Well, actually, I started doing two about last week, which was 12 weeks out. And, okay. You know, after a couple of second-place finishes, trying to get my pro card in a couple of natural organizations, and just want to take my condition to that next level.
Gotcha.
And I just don't want to strip away too much muscle and just wanted to get your thoughts on doing it twice a day.
Well, I would say you're at 12 weeks out right now. What's your conditioning like right now? How much body fat do you have right now?
You know, I haven't got it measured, but I'm pretty lean.
Right. You feel good where you are at 12 weeks, right?
I think I might even be a little bit ahead, actually.
Okay, awesome. Well, I can tell you, you are determined. Some of those second place finishes are the greatest things that can happen to us. They set you up. I can think of some of those contests that I fell short really propelled me to that next level the following year, and sounds that's where you're at right now too, Brad. This is what I would say. At 12 weeks out, I would just do one session of MaxOT cardio, and I'd really concentrate on my diet more. I don't know how many calories that you're eating right now, whatever it is, if you want to keep that muscle mass, if you want to keep your strength in the gym, and you want to get lean at the same time, you got to jack that food up to the most food that you efficiently handle. Get those calories up as high as you can where you're not getting fat, all right? Because the body is an adapting machine. Right now, if you were just to say, get really ambitious, I really want to get ripped for my show in 12 weeks, you can cut you can be a machine, you can be a Spartan, you can be a gladiator, and cut your calories, let's just say, down to 1,000 calories, all right? And you can mentally override any hunger pains, and like I said, just be really disciplined. Your body's going to slow everything down. It's going to slow the metabolism down so that you're not going to kill yourself. Sure, your workouts are going to be less intense, you'll lift less weight. You basically won't be able to think that clearly because you're going to go 12 weeks eating 1,000 calories, right? You will be ripped. You'll probably lose a lot of muscle at the same time, all right? That's where too much ambition to make those sacrifices are going to hurt you. What you want to do at this 12-week point is if you can eat 3,000 calories and still continue to get lean by eating the right foods, by eating those foods at the right times throughout the day, your body's going to jack up, and it's going to really, it can process those 3,000 calories just as efficiently as that Spartan version of you who ate 1,000 calories. It just takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. See, Brad, if you can eat 3,000 calories, get continually decrease your body fat, and then at the end when you start lowering the calories, just say a couple hundred calories every week, just from, just say, 8 weeks, 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks out, lowering it down to just say, you know, 1,200 calories, so that the last week you glide in at 1,200 calories, you're going to maintain a lot more muscle. You're going to look a lot better, a lot fuller than if you went right down to that 1,000 calories, okay? So I would think your concern at this point to really funnel that energy you have to being the best is really working on your diet, eating the most food possible at this time to continue to lose body fat and rely less on cardio, all right? That one session of cardio a day should be plenty if you're doing all the work and you're ahead of time, like you say. And then you might want to consider the two sessions, the 16-minute sessions, a little bit later on. I don't know, maybe like the 6 or 8 week point. It's difficult for me to know that without looking at you. What I suggest you do is send me an email. If you haven't been in my members only website, you can see how I did it for two contest periods. I break out when I started doing two cardio sessions a day, how many cardio sessions I've done. I also will show you how I track them as far as you know, what type of efficiency and intensity I did during those cardio sessions. Then when you go to the nutrition part, you'll see how I broke down my diet, how much food I was eating, and how I cut that all down to preserve as much muscle mass and fullness as I could for the contest while getting ripped at the same time. You do not have to sacrifice size, so to speak, like just give up just to be ripped. There is a balance of the two. It just takes a lot of intelligence, planning, and, of course, the hard work. And it sounds like you're ready to do the hard work now. Let's just work on introducing some more strategies to help you reach that goal. So, Brad, check that out, and thank you very much for calling, all right?
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Now we have a caller from the 732 area code. Caller, are you there?
Hey, Skip, what's going on?
How you doing?
I am not a competitor. I'm the first
one. Okay.
But I am a personal trainer.
Awesome. And what's your name?
Chris from New Jersey.
Chris from New Jersey. All right, Chris.
I'm completely aware of the Max OT training philosophies and principles. I follow it myself. I love it.
Awesome.
But the organization that I am certified with and their rep schemes for their various goals doesn't completely mesh with the Max OT, and I'm talking about muscle hypertrophy.
Right. That's a great question.
It varies a little bit, where Max OT recommends 4 to 6 for muscle hypertrophy. The one, I'm not going to say the name of it, but the one that I'm associated with, it says that 6 to 12 is the optimum rep range for muscle hypertrophy, and there's a little bit of difference there. I was wondering if you can kind of comment on that. And I was I did further research on my own, and I noticed that many of the training organizations, not just the one I'm a part of, but many of them recommend the 6 to 8 to 10 in there is for muscle hypertrophy. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm very well aware that there's a lot of different opinions and theories when it comes to training and what the ideal rep ranges are. Also for different, end goals, and whether it's a performance, is about building the muscle in the same period of time. Let me first I'll say that from my experience with my determination, my focus, my love of the gym when I first started training, I did various rep schemes, and I got results. I got results because you can get some results doing everything, anything you, because if you're focused and dedicated enough, all right? So it isn't like a routine works or it doesn't work. It's not black and white like that. It's varying degrees of efficiency and effectiveness, all right? So that being said, if you went to that rep range, you would get results, okay? So for me to say, oh, there's no way that works, okay? Now, the other thing is you have to understand that, and with my experience in the personal development field, just people, just life, how the mind works, a lot of times it's appealing to a person's likes and it's dislikes that gets them motivated. All right, gets them to actually follow through. If I did an awesome sale job on anybody, just got them motivated and inspired, and I did a great sales job for them to try the 4 to 6 rep range, okay? And I gave them all the surrounding documentation, all the real-life results, and they gave it a shot with their full attention and focus. There's no doubt in my mind that they would get results, okay? As you know from the Max OT training system, I mean, it's a lot of intensity. We talked about, and by intensity, I mean, there's a little bit of a fear factor involved when you're going for that heavyweight. Isn't that true, Chris?
Absolutely. There are many exercises I don't even try without a spotter.
Okay. So, but you're, I can tell by your voice, you're one of those focused, determined, athletic type of, well, you have that athlete, that champion mentality. You don't mind the fear and the pain that it takes to push your body that way, right?
Not at all.
Okay. So you can handle the 4 to 6 with heavy weight and all the challenges that come with it. You said you're a personal trainer, okay? Let's just take your last 100 clients. How many of them have the intestinal fortitude to go for 4 to 6 reps with that heavy weight? How many of your last 100 clients have that mental makeup to actually do that?
I would say none.
Zero. Zero out of 100. Okay. Zero out of 100, all right? So let me ask you, if I had an organizing body, a sanctioning group of certification to my personal trainers, would I advocate a training program, even though if I knew it built the most muscle in the shortest period of time, even if I knew that, would I recommend a program for my personal trainers to give out to their clients that 0 out of 100 have the mental and intestinal fortitude to do? Would I advocate such a program?
No, absolutely not. And I know where you're going with this, and I agree with you, but my basic question is, like, I'm almost tempted to give this other rep range a try because so many other people are saying it's the optimum rep range, even though my results have been very good with Max OT.
Right, I got you. And you know what? For me to say that you are alone in that type of thinking, you're not. All right, I get letters all the time. People get results. They love it. They love the thrill, the excitement, and the results of the Max OT training. Yet it's that those other type of influences, other people in the gym, everything else they read, that tempts them to go away from what they know to be true that works for them, all right? Well, you know, part of life and what I teach with some of the other things I do, my Man Formation program, I teach men, it's about being alpha male, leadership qualities, all right? I'm just asking, I'm going to challenge you for Chris, if you're doing a program that works for you, okay, are you the leader or are you the follower? Are you being influenced to try something and go with something because of a pressure from outside sources or for what you know to be true? I would have a question for you, Chris, as a leader, and again, not for those 0 out of 100 that aren't going to do it, but for guys who are just like you. Do you lead them and say, I don't care what you think. This is the way it works. This is why it works. You should give it a try. See, that's a position that I've had. You know, do you think that over my last 18 years that I've been challenged of why the 4 to 6 rep range won't work? And then they have all the different explanations? Sure, I have. You know, the results speak for themselves. Step as a leader. I don't even hear that. I do get letters from time to time that, just like you, where they get the results, yet there's an influence. People are always coming to them, don't do this for this reason, this reason, this reason. Okay, you're getting the results already. This is where I'm going to give you a little out. Go ahead and try the more reps. Give it 3 months. You know, Thomas made a great observation earlier in the show when he was talking about, hey, what's 3 months of giving a shot? You've given your best effort with Max OT. You've seen what it does. You've seen the results. Give yourself the next 3 months of doing the 6 to 12 reps, all right? Use that same mental intensity and focus and breakdown that you have done with Max OT. Do it with the 6 to 12, all right? You will have a greater appreciation no matter which way you go because you've given both methods their fair shot. So at the end of 3 months, you'll be more educated by practical experience of what's the best system. And I want you to call back in 3 months after you've given it that shot, okay? Because I understand how that wandering. It's kind of the way I look at it is, I don't know, do you have any children, Chris?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, let's go back to when you were 16 years old, and maybe you weren't fortunate enough to have this, but if your parents gave you a brand new BMW, brand new off the lot, this fine automobile, right? You know, they gave you that when you were 16 years old, yet you had no experience driving a car that, you know, the transmission was faulty or, you know, it was a lower, you know, let's just take some Ford Taurus or something like a 10-year-old Ford Taurus.
I know where you're going with this.
Okay. For those on the line who are listening to the show who don't know where I'm going with this, the thing about it is that you can give that 16-year-old the BMW and he can say, wow, yeah, I'm getting, it drives great. People are complimenting me all the time. I guess this is a fine automobile. Until he really sits into that Ford Taurus, he really won't know what he has, okay? You've sat in the BMW. You've got the results from Max OT training. Okay, go sit in another car. And with that, you know, empowered type of research and application, you will know which one's better for you. And I want you to call back and tell me what you find out, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Skip.
All right, brother. Talk to you later. Okay, so now we have a caller from the 610 area code. Caller, are you there? 610 area code.
Hey, Skip, it's Derek Adams in Pennsylvania. How are you?
Hey, Derek, I am awesome. Derek, how are you today?
I was actually just calling in to hear more about the 10 stupid mistakes that bodybuilders make.
Okay. All right. I'm going to just add one more. We talked with Thomas about you have the need to make sure when you blitz that body part that you have to let it fully recover before you train it again. Point number 7 is what bodybuilders do to mess up their training habits is they don't come to the gym with a definitive plan. All right, and that's they kind of go by instincts. They're not quite sure what they do. They don't have a well-defined plan when they come to the gym. They don't know their set, how many sets they're going to do, what exercise they're going to do, how long it should take them. That's a big mistake. Just like in life, you have to have deadlines. If you remember back to school or with work, is that you did your best when you were under some type of constraints. You didn't let your feelings or your attitudes come into play. You had concrete deadlines, okay? You need to come up with those before you even step out into the gym. You need to know how long you're going to be in there, what body part you're going to train, how many exercises you're going to do. You need to also know what type of weight are you going to lift that day. Are you determined? And all those decisions should be made before you even step into the gym, all right? Don't let your feelings or emotions, that could really vary depending on who's around you, how much food you have in your system. You can't go by your feelings or emotions. And going to the gym, going into battle, Chris was talking about the challenge of the heavy weight, that fear that's involved. You can't make those determinations of how hard you're going to train, how much weight you're going to lift, what exercises are you going to do. You can't make those decisions when you're in the gym. They have to be made before you even step foot in the gym. It's a very important point when it comes to that mental intensity that I talked about. Everyone thinks they train hard. Obviously, there's a lot of different variations of training hard. And having a definitive workout plan before you even step into the gym is crucial to getting the most intensity when you're in the gym. Hey, Derek, hold on the line. We have a caller from the 570 area code. Caller, are you there? 570. 570 area code. Are you there? All right. Okay. So we talked about not coming into the gym with a definitive plan as one of the 10 stupid things. Hey, we have some phone lines open. So if you want to call in with your questions, the phone number is 347-326-9145. The number is 347-326-9145. 1-800-875-1145. You can also join us in the chat room. I see we have quite a few members listening to us live and chatting in the chat room. Talking about asking each other how many reps that each of them do, that rep range. So go into the chat room. More importantly, hey, call up and get some free coaching. I do a lot of coaching around the world, actually, through phone services, through internet phone services like Skype, all over the world, this type of coaching, and you can get this for free here on this show. So let's go back to the 10 stupid things that bodybuilders do to mess up their training habits. They don't document their progress in the gym. Many bodybuilders make blind guesses at how productive they should be training during each workout. And they don't use already established patterns to set new standards and strive to take them up a few notches. All right? And by this is they maybe they've come into the gym with a plan. They know they're going to train their chest. They know which exercises they're going to do. They know they're determined on what rep range they're going to do. Right? That's all great. Okay? Intensity is pushing yourself to that one notch higher, that ever-increasing next level that's just totally out of reach. What they do is because they show up to the gym, because they have a workout plan, because they're doing they have all the basics checked off, when it comes to the amount of weight they do, reps they were able to perform on a particular weight, they go into a holding pattern, and they're not challenging themselves. You need to document your progress, okay? When you train, you need to know what weight you did last week. You need to know how many reps you were able to perform last week, okay? So you don't just show up and just do the exercise. You got to give yourself a target, a bullseye to aim for, all right? Now, when I talk about documenting your progress, this is not like for some record keeping to put in the Library of Congress for years to come. What it is you document that so that next time, just say you were doing a bench press, before you start your heavy sets of bench press, you can say, all right, okay, I did 5 reps with 310 pounds last week, all right? So, and this may sound obvious, a lot of times, you know, I know this has happened to me in the past, is that, and I know with the people I've helped, just this small distinction of documenting. But more than documenting, you look at what you did last week because they'll do 3 sets, let's say, of chest. They pumped them out 275 pounds or whatever it was for them. And then they happen to look at their records and they say, hey, I did 310 pounds last week. You can't go back and do those sets over again. It's done. Okay? We talked about that intensity, letting the muscle recover. More training isn't better training. All right? Because of poor documentation and reviewing that, they just spent their energy on doing a workout that isn't going to take them to the next level because they're just going by memory or feel or emotion or whatever it is. So you document your workouts and you make sure you're shooting for 1 more rep, 5 more pounds, whatever it takes to continually take yourself to that next level. And it's done through documentation. All right, don't just show up in the gym. Don't just be one of those guys who are just talking to everybody, checking out the girls. You're in the gym for an hour. Give it your utmost intensity. Do these small little distinctions. It's these small distinctions that make the huge difference in everything that you do. And it's that type of intensity done over one workout to the next workout. It's 3 months later. It's 6 months later of constantly pushing yourself to that higher and higher level, not by chance, not by memory, but by specific documentation is what's going to give you not only that physique that you really want, all right, it's going to make the whole process of training, going through the ups and downs of training, it's going to make it a more rewarding and more fulfilling experience. And if you've listened to my material, if you watch my DVDs, if you read my books, I talk about that mental connection. If you're doing anything and you love the process, it's rewarding, fulfilling, you'll get the most out of it every single day you're in the gym. Also, like Thomas talked about, you're going to be doing it 5 years later. You're going to be doing it 7 years later. And is there any doubt in your mind that if you're doing something for 7 more years, you're going to be amazing? right? You're just going to be better. I don't care how much frustration you might go through along the way. You stick with anything for 5 or 7 more years, you're going to be amazing. You incorporate that in your total life. Okay, this is just one aspect. You know, your physique is just one aspect of your life, and I know that's why you're coming to me as your coach, as your mentor, as your friend, as your training partner. I'm here to tell you, though, that your physique is just one part of what you get in there. You train, you do it in the most effective manner. You have the physique you want. You take that as one aspect of your life, and you take it into all areas of your life, and you become that complete person, that business person, that alpha male, that strong male, that good person of influence and charisma, that influence to your family and friends. And you have an awesome physique, too, right? Hey, as we're talking about that, I want everyone to listen to the show. I know I have a massive, you know, following because of all the work that I've done in bodybuilding on the physique enhancement, the training, the nutrition, the supplementation, all right? The Rocket Fuel that made me a 6-time national champion, it all started in my mind. And that process actually started for me 25 years ago, actually 7 years before I actually started training in the gym. And that's when I went to my first personal development seminar. And for the last 25 years, I've constantly pushed myself to a higher and higher level mentally. So when I came to start training 7 years later, I was ready to take something I love and get the most out of myself and withstand all the frustration, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the sacrifice, aligning all my thoughts and my emotions to get the most out of my bodybuilding training efforts. See, to me, bodybuilding was just part of my life building. It was just part of a complete package to be the man who I really wanted to be. And I know you guys are building your physiques. I also know that's just part, it's what you're doing right now to get happiness and fulfillment in your life, all right? So if you're a fan of my training strategies, my body on stage, all those type of things, I want you to become a fan of the total life-building process. Come along with me. Let me share those experiences with you. Well, how can you do that? I have a radio talk show on Saturdays. It's the Man for Nation talk show, where I talk about all those things, your emotions, your mental outlook, your approach to success. And we share all those strategies from a male perspective. And again, you work on your mind, you'll see that the training, the nutrition, this body that you want, it becomes a lot easier to process and more fulfilling at the same time. So check out my Manformation website at manformation.com, M-A-N-F-O-R-M-A-T-I-O-N, manformation.com, and check out the radio show on manformationradio.com. This week flew by. We had a lot of callers, a lot of listeners. I think this was probably our biggest, most attended show, and I appreciate your support as this show builds momentum. So join us again next week. If you're visit the AST Sports Science website at ast-ss.com. Visit my website for more information. Sign up for free tips at skiplacour.com. And if you're looking for nutritional supplements that you can't get on my site or the AST sites that kind of fill you in with some herbs or special vitamins, go to fitrx.com, fitrx.com. For all your nutritional supplements at bargain prices. So have a great week. Train hard and think big. And I appreciate you listening to the show.
Hi, this is Skip LaCour. Thank you for joining me on this archived or podcasted show. I want to invite you to join me live during the show every Sunday and let me help you solve your bodybuilding and training problems personally. Visit my website at www.skiplacour.com for more information on training, nutrition, supplementation, and motivation. And take the time to sign up on my list for free weekly tips, messages, and website updates that will be sent to you by email. If you have any questions about anything I've discussed during the show, or any other questions for that matter, email them to me at skip@skiplacour.com. I'd also like to take this time to invite you to listen to The Manformation Show. It's a weekly talk show where I discuss strategies that help...
Blog Talk Radio.